Good morning. Welcome to Main Street United Methodist Church. Let us prepare our hearts for worship as we sing our hymn of preparation. You will find it on the inside of your bulletin. Good morning. We're glad to see all of your nice, shiny faces here today. And I would like to call your attention to a couple of announcements that were in the communications Main Street update each Sunday morning in your Sunday school rooms. If you will notice, I've mentioned it before, but the deadline is approaching for the Creative Worship Arts Camp that you will find listed in the announcement list. You will also notice that that date is July the 13th, and it is a limited enrollment, so don't let the time get away from you. It was very popular last year. Another note you might want to make is that the office will be closed on July the 4th in order to celebrate the holiday. The five-day fun camp, if you notice, that's for children from 5 to 12. And it's a very active camp, something going every day, so you may want to make a note of that. The first work day for the community garden is June the 30th, and they have already harvested green beans that have gone to the food pantry, to Main Street's food pantry, to the soup kitchen, and to Bowers Rogers. So it's going to be a very productive garden, and we're going to need some help. So make a note and come out and help us with the weeding and the harvesting of the crops. Also, cooks. We need breakfast cooks. So if you will please get in touch with the office and say, I can scramble eggs, or I can pour juice, or whatever. We need some helping hands in the kitchen. Now, if you will continue to prepare your hearts for worship, as the acolytes enter with the light of Christ.
Thank you. Will all those who are able please stand for the call to worship? Gather in awe before God, who laid the foundations of the earth. Open your hearts to the steadfast love God offers. The deeds of God are beyond knowing, yet we catch glimpses of God's mercy and care. God does not forsake us when we are dismayed and afraid. Our Creator is with us in all times and places. God is a stronghold for the oppressed and troubled. The needy and the poor are not forgotten. God is ready to listen to us in these moments together. See, now is the acceptable time, the day of salvation. Surely God will meet us here in our faith community. How fit it is when we sense our unity in Christ.
Thank you. Join with me, please, as we pray the prayer of invocation as printed in your bulletin. We sing praises to you, O God, for you have been gracious to us amid the storms of life. We do battle with many enemies within and among us, but you give us confidence and courage to face them. Out of the whirlwind, you answer when we call. We have gathered to listen for the voice we sometimes cannot hear in the daily clamor of our lives. Help us to discard the excess baggage and unnecessary armor that keeps us from the fullness of your life intended for us. Amen. This is the good news which we have received, in which we stand, and by which we are saved. Christ died for our sins, was buried, was raised on the third day, and appeared first to the women, then to Peter and the 12. And then to many faithful witnesses. We believe Jesus is the Christ, the anointed one of God, the firstborn of all creation, the firstborn from the dead, in whom all things hold together, in whom the fullness of God was pleased to dwell by the power of the Spirit. Christ is the head of the body, the church, and by the blood of the cross, reconciles all things to God. Amen.
Epistle reading is from 2 Corinthians 6, 1 through 13. Here the word of God is found in Paul's second letter to the Corinthians. As we work together with him, we urge you also not to accept the grace of God in vain. For he says, "At an acceptable time I have listened to you, and on a day of salvation I have helped you. See, now is the acceptable time. See, now is the day of salvation. We are putting no obstacle in anyone's way so that no fault may be found with our ministry. But as servants of God, we have commended ourselves in every way through great endurance, in afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labors, sleepless nights, hunger. By purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, holiness of spirit, genuine love, truthful speech and the power of God, with the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and for the left, in honor and dishonor, in ill repute and good repute. We are treated as impostors and yet are true, as unknown and yet we are well known, as dying and see we are alive, as punished and yet not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, and yet possessing everything. We have spoken frankly to you, Corinthians. Our heart is wide open to you. There is no restriction in our affections, but only in yours. In return, I speak as to children. Open wide your hearts also." Our gospel lesson is from the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 4, verses 35 through 41. Please stand for the reading of the gospel. On that day when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd behind, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. Other boats were with him. A great gale arose, and the winds beat into the boat, so that the boat was already being swamped with waves. But he was in the stern, asleep on a cushion. And they woke him up and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" He woke up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." Then the wind ceased, and there was a dead calm. And he said to them, "Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great awe and said to one another, "Who is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Please be seated.
Our prayer concerns in the hospital Billy Tunstall and Frank Hawthorne, and those who are recuperating are John Williams, Mildred Gallagly, John Young, and Judy Roberts. Other prayer concerns we have are Jay Pendergrass, Wesley, and Tanya Hodges. Let us have a moment of silence as we prepare our hearts to enter into the intercessory prayer. Dear God, as we calm ourselves in your presence this day, from the storms of life that surround us and beat upon us, we are so thankful that when we acknowledge that you are in our lives, that we can endure the onslaughts. And so, dear God, we come to you this day praying for these of our church family, that you indeed would undergird for them, and not only for our church family, but for others who are suffering, who are hurting in this world of ours. That your healing, caring, nurturing love would be their portion. Again, dear God, we thank you for the various ways that you have answered our prayers in bygone times. And we know that the faith of the past will sustain us in the future. Guide us, O thou great Jehovah. Teach us the ways that we should go. And afresh this day, we surrender ourselves and our loved ones into your hands, praying for you to work among us that which is pleasing and acceptable in your sight. Our Maker, our Father, our Redeemer. And we pray for those of our world who are in the midst of conflicts this day, for those on battlefields or serving in hostile environments, both within our civil government and those serving equally, faithfully and diligently on the mission fields of our world. Going where many would not choose to go. Suffering what many would choose not to suffer. Dear God, be with them and the leaders of our church and the leaders of our nation as we pray as you taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let us worship the Lord now with our morning tithes and offerings. Sisters, would you come, please?
Lord, thank you for thy mercy.
Let's pray. Holy God, we return to you now from that which we have received, a mere portion, a portion to be used by you for the furtherance of the gospel of Christ. Bless these gifts and the giver, and those who have not and chose not to give this day. Let all that we do be found pleasing in your sight as these gifts go forward from here and around the world. In Christ's holy name we pray. Amen.
Please be seated. We invite the children from the front for the children's message.
Good morning. People are still coming. That's great. I am so excited about the coming week. Does anybody know why? Vacation Bible School. I'm so excited. We're going to be talking about Daniel and his courage while he was in captivity in Babylon. And he went through a whole lot. But even though he went through a whole lot, he kept his courage and his faith. Does anybody remember the really dramatic thing that happened to Daniel in the Bible? He was thrown in a den of what? A den of lions. And he maintained his faith. He kept on believing, and he had courage. He knew God would help him. And I tell you what, I think that would test me. I think I'd be really afraid, and it'd be hard for me to have faith. But he did. And so we're going to learn how we can have that courage and that faith too. And you know who Daniel reminds me of? He reminds me of Pastor Terry and Miss Linda. Because, wow, a long time ago, God called Pastor Terry to serve. And as nerve-wracking as that probably was, he answered God's call. He said yes, and he had courage. Because it takes a lot of courage and a lot of faith to step out. It's kind of like being a missionary. You never know where you're going to be. And you always have to meet new people. And Pastor Terry and Miss Linda have had faith and courage that God is leading them where he wants them. And sometimes that is kind of nerve-wracking because he's going to go to a new place, he and Miss Linda, and they might not know many people, but they're going to keep that courage just like Daniel did. And that teaches me a lot. That teaches me that I need to step out in my faith when God calls me. Maybe he touches your heart sometimes to go talk to somebody new at school. The little things that might make somebody uncomfortable, you can have that courage. And we need to be very thankful that we have people like Pastor Terry and Miss Linda that maintain that faith and they answer God's call just like Daniel did. So let's say a prayer, and then you guys can help me say amen at the end, okay? Let's pray. Dear God, I thank you so much for stewards like Daniel. Thank you for Miss Linda and Pastor Terry's service that they offered us here. And I ask you to keep them in your loving arms as they venture out in faith to where you have called them. God, just be with them. Let them know they are loved and prayed for. And be with these children. Give them the courage to step out in their faith when you call them. We love you, God. Thank you. And all God's children said, amen.
Thank you.
be seated. I do thank you for those of you who are here for this, my farewell Sunday. I know there are others that would like to be here, they'd just rather be at the beach. So it is a good time to go to the beach. As I prepare for this, my last Sunday, I remember what Dr. Ken Callahan said one time. He said, don't preach your best sermon on your first Sunday. I don't think I'll be preaching my best one on my last Sunday. So here it is. As we have read in Mark's Gospel today, we read this passage of Scripture that again communicates the humanness of our Lord. He was fast asleep in the ship or in the boat. As I think about Jesus and this time with his disciples, in those times when I observe maybe my children sleeping, or maybe you have observed one of your good friends is sometimes maybe sleeping, I wonder how the disciples felt. I wonder what was going on in their minds. They had been journeying with Jesus. I'm sure they had experienced a lot of miracles. Jesus had been doing a lot of work and he was tired. And maybe as the disciples were looking at Jesus, they were saying, oh, doesn't he look so peaceful? You know, with us being disciples and following Jesus, everything is good. He has turned water to wine. He's healed the sick, raised the dead, cleansed the leper, whole other things. He said, our life is safe with this man. Things are all right. You know the story, as they were journeying across the Sea of Galilee, Jesus was in the process of changing his ministry. I think sometimes about the storms of life and the things that have affected our society and our world. And as United Methodists, if you have studied any of the history of John Wesley, you know that in his voyage to North America, he too was in a storm. And I suspect that he was more akin to how these disciples were reacting than being cool and calm, because there were some people on board ship with John Wesley that were cool and calm. And they were the Moravians. And even Wesley said, not only the adults were calm and assured, but even their children. And Wesley was so captivated by this faith that he wanted to have this type of faith in his heart and life. And to this very day, wherever there are Moravians, there is a strong bond between us and them. When I think about this storm that Wesley and Jesus were in, I think about the storms that I have been in. Standing out in the revetment, working on my jet one day, and all of a sudden a storm blew in, and there was wind all around and stuff flying all over the place. And I ran up under the wing of the plane and held on, and it was shaking back and forth. Didn't last long, found out it was a tornado that came through. One night in Joanna, it was one of those late early morning storms, and the lightning was flashing, and the phone on the receiver was dinging, and the alarm clock was clicking. And my mom and dad were up walking around and all concerned. You see, at one time when my dad was a little boy, he was in a house, and I remember him telling that three rooms of that house were torn off. He said for 2 or 3 weeks after that, he was really a good boy. But I remember that night as the storm was snapping, as the lightning was snapping and the thunder was rolling, and the house was not at peace. A few weeks later, almost the same story. Another storm. The phone was dinging, the clock was popping and snapping. And Mom and Dad stayed in bed. You see, my dad had made a commitment to Christ in between those two storms. The second storm, he was a Christian. The first storm, he wasn't. And I remember at breakfast the next morning, and Dad said, "You know, I was at peace last night. And I'm thankful for that type of ministry that speaks of faith that has calming effect in the midst of the storm. I confess that at times in my life of faith, I think maybe I have dry docked my faith. I'm not so sure that I have all that assurance that I need to have." Kind of reminds me of the little boy that hollered to his dad and said, "Look, Dad, I'm swimming." And his dad said, "No, you're not." He said, "You're crawling along on the bottom." He said, "How do you know?" He said, "I can see the mud that you're kicking up from behind you." And sometimes I think maybe that applies to us when we perceive to have ventured out into deep water of life's experiences. We're really just on the shore when we're really called to be out into the deep. I remember when I was in seminary at Emory, and they asked the question, "Who is Jesus in your life?" Or, "Who was Jesus in your family as you grew up?" My response was, "He was always the guest. It was always as though Jesus was always there. Jesus was just as real in our family as any uncle or aunt." It's hard to imagine the privilege of being raised in a family like that. And as I think about these disciples as they are journeying, and maybe we can ask ourselves the question, who was Jesus on board that boat that day? Was he the friend? Was he the answer to all their problems? When I think about failures and experiences in life and tasks that we are called to be a part of, such as leaving one church and going to another, I ask myself again, and who is Jesus? And where is He in my life? For the reality is that if you follow Christ, He is not going to let you swim around in the shallow water. He is not going to allow you to always just stay in the safe harbor. He's going to call you out and commission you to journey with Him into the deep. One day I watched a mother bird as she was feeding her babies, and how diligently she took care of them, only to look down at the steps and there were cats. And I thought about the struggles and the insecurities and the trials that we have in life. Sometimes things happen that do scare us. A little boy tried time and time again, and finally he was successful in tying his shoelaces. Many of you, I'm sure, remember when you were trying to tie your own shoelaces. This little boy was finally successful, and his mother began to praise him and just say, "Oh, son, I'm so proud of you. Look what you have done." And the little boy began to cry, and she held him and said, "Son, what's wrong?" He said, "Mama, now I have to tie my shoes for the rest of my life." Jesus calls us to journey with Him for the rest of our life. He pushes us. He pushes us on. Like the mother bird, sometimes He pushes us out of the nest to deal with the issues of life. And there's nothing that Jesus cannot do. There's nothing that Jesus, I don't believe, will do that keeps us from all the storms of life. We live in a sinful, imperfect world. Most of us are going to go through some rough times. That's the fact. The title of the sermon today doesn't necessarily hermeneutically fit right in with this reading, because there are no oars rowing in this illustration. But when I think about boats and I think about the different types of boats, I think about those who have sails and those that you row. And so, in closing, I ask you this question. Is your sail of life set so as to receive the wind of God's Spirit as it blows upon your life to push you in the direction that Christ would have you to go? As a church, as we row together, are we all willing to row in the same direction? Rowing together. Main Street knows so well that the journey of being a church is not always a peaceful journey. But it can be a peace field journey with Christ present in our hearts and in our lives. We will not be called to sail around every storm. We may sail through the storm and come out still in one peace. One peace. I bid you God's peace and God's blessings. Amen. Our next hymn of the morning is number 534. No, 377.
the time has come to say farewell to Terry and Linda. This is a very significant day in the life and history of Main Street United Methodist Church. Their service to the church and this congregation and the impact they've had on many of our lives will be a part of this institution's history forever. That is a very significant thing. I want to remind the congregation of dinner immediately following the service in the fellowship hall. All are invited, even if you didn't bring a dish. In the same way that it is a Methodist tradition, the changing of pastors, it is also a Methodist tradition to recognize significant dates with a meal. So please, everyone, attend. Now, if you will, join me in an order of farewell to a pastor. The appointment of a pastor to a United Methodist Church is only for 1 year at a time. While most pastors are reappointed for multiple years, eventually the time comes when a congregation must say farewell to one pastor and welcome another. Since June of 2010, Reverend Terry Martin has been our spiritual guide and our pastor. Today we recognize that through prayerful consideration, our bishop has appointed Terry to serve another congregation, and it is time to bid Terry and Linda a fond farewell.
I thank you, members and friends of Main Street United Methodist Church, for the love and support you have shown me while I have ministered among you. I am grateful for the ways my leadership has been accepted, and I ask forgiveness for the mistakes I have made. As I leave, I carry with me all that I have learned here.
We receive your thankfulness, offer forgiveness, and accept that you now leave to minister elsewhere. We express our gratitude for your time among us. We ask your forgiveness for our mistakes. Your influence on our faith and faithfulness will not leave us with your departure.
I accept with gratitude and forgiveness, and I forgive you, trusting that our time together and our parting are pleasing to God. I release you from turning to me and depending on me, and I encourage you, your continuing ministry here, and will pray for you and for your new pastor, Reverend Phil Thrillkill. Let us pray. Eternal God, whose steadfast love for us is from everlasting to everlasting, we give you thanks for the cherished memories and commit one another into your care as we move in new directions. Keep us one in love. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.